Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat. As I heard him ask, we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty. Put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. Said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost, and we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
Suggested.
Hey. Welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. Welcome, welcome. That was our live studio audience that are in my sleeper. A couple hundred of them back there, and they're very comfy, and they're very lively, and they're very cheery, and we appreciate that. Well, I'm your host, Jeremy Johnson. Welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And I'm here with my co-hosts, Chris Bikerson. Chris, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I got to tell you, though, this super sleeper thing's getting out of control, that you can fit 200 people back there with your own mobile studio audience. I think, you know, somebody needs to, you know, get in touch with the FMCSA about that. But, yeah, you know, I'm just sitting here. You can't hear it, but sitting here with the wife. I'm actually home tonight, and I've got Home Alone playing on the old TV here, and we're at the scene here where the wet bandits are going through all his traps. So if I burst out in laughter, you know why.
Well, that, listen, as far as the studio audience, they're not actually all in my sleeper. See, I've got a custom boot that I made from the back of my sleeper that goes into my reefer unit so I can control the temp back there. So we have, you know, they're stacked in the reefer partially too. So that way we can, you know, get the full effect of a live studio audience. We're also here with the other co-host. What's that guy's name? Oh, that Daryl Gibbs character from Colorado. Yeah, Daryl. Daryl's with us tonight also. How are you doing tonight, my brother?
Man, I'm doing good, man. I'm just mashing that motor, heading down this interstate, heading over there to Rope Arb, Kentucky, to go pick up this load of foam meal. And, hey, Biden, you idiot, guess what? I didn't vote for you, and I'm still black.
Even Daryl's lively tonight. And we're also here with our producer, Kim from Canada, our producer. And we love Kim. She puts our show on Spotify every single week. She's done a lot of stuff for us in the background. Kim, how are you tonight?
I am doing very well. It is finally so nice to join you guys. I've been missing, well, been partially here and there, but it is life has settled down, so I'm very happy to be here. Hope everyone is doing well and looking forward to the show tonight.
Awesome. I'm glad to see, glad to hear everybody here tonight. Our family is together again after almost a month. Well, it's been a month now. I was gone last week. It's been one of those months, you know, it's holiday season and it's we just get wrapped up in stuff and that's the way life goes, but that's okay. So, I tell you what, we got a lot to talk about tonight. I was telling Chris earlier, I said, you know, it's so much stuff happening around with the current events that it's almost impossible to keep up with. But you know what? Let's just start out with the big news for today. And it seems like every day there's something that breaks. But today, I woke up this morning to headline news of President Joe Biden trades a international arms dealer to Russia for Brittany Griner and leaves our man Paul Whelan behind.
He's a Marine.
A U.S. United States Marine Corps veteran. They leave him behind and they bring home somebody that hates America. Now, before we get too crazy, let me just say this. Do I agree that she should have been in prison for 9 years? No, but that's also their country's rules. So you have to respect that part of it. But I'm glad that she's out, okay? I'll put it that way. What I'm not happy about is if they're going to have one to choose from, why would she get the first choice? Because she's LBGT and she's a women's basketball star. I'm not getting it. Paul Whelan is served our country. He fought for our country. And just like you did in Afghanistan, Joe Biden, you just leave the troops behind. And just like you did with the vaccine mandates, you either do what I tell you to do or you're out. And I know a lot of that's an unpopular opinion amongst liberals, but I really don't care what they think. That's what I feel, and it's my show, and it's my opinion, and I get to have that. So screw you. If you don't like my opinion, I don't care. But, Chris, what do you think about this whole Brittany Griner exchange for – what did they call him? What the hell's his nickname? The
Merchant of Death.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think?
You know, if this guy was – so heinous as the Merchant of Death, you know, to be his global title, international arms dealer. I don't think we should be releasing him for a celebrity. I don't want to see the girl spending 9 years in a Russian gulag. For having what did she have, like a bong or something, a marijuana
cannabis
roach,
oil.
Cannabis oil, right? I mean, I definitely don't support that, you know. And as far as her anti-American sentiment, you know, she's entitled to her opinion, and I'm not going to sit around and wish someone to, again, sit and rot in a Russian gulag because they have an opinion I don't agree with. That doesn't necessarily mean I support releasing someone who arms international terrorist groups to carry out attacks against civilians in exchange for them. I feel like there's a better brokering, a better deal that could have been made, and I think if the right person was in the Oval Office, we could have seen a much better deal get made. That's just my belief. But I mean, you know what? It's 2022. It's almost 2023. I could look out my window tomorrow and see the horizon full of Ronald McDonald paratroopers coming down riding elephants, and I just wouldn't be shocked. I'd just be like, oh, okay, it must be just about January, you know. I don't know. This feels crazy.
You know, before we get over to Daryl, let me just say something. That person in the Oval Office that you speak of that could have probably got both of them in return, that wouldn't happen to have been Donald Trump that you were thinking about, would it be by chance?
I think, and again, I'm not the biggest, you know, DJT fan, especially some of his recent comments, but I do think he was a much, you know, much better negotiator than our current potatoes.
Well, let me give you this. President Trump freed three students from China. He didn't trade a Russian arms dealer for them. President Trump also freed three Americans from North Korea. Didn't trade a Russian arms dealer. President Trump also freed Aya Hijazi and her husband from Egypt. He did not, never, he didn't trade a Russian arms dealer. So I'm going to have to say on this matter that I think DJT definitely would have probably brought both of them home without even giving that arms dealer away. That's just my opinion. But I don't know, Daryl, what's your thoughts on it?
Oh, yeah, y'all got your seatbelts on? All right, I feel a little different. I think she should have served. If she didn't serve all nine, she should have served more time than what she did, because the thing is, when you go overseas, they tell you, this is what we want, this is what you can't do, this is what you can't bring over. And she decided to say, well, you know what, I'm better than anybody, so I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway because I play basketball and I'm LGBTQ, and you know, I don't have to listen to anyone. So her butt got caught. And so I think she needed to spend more time in jail than what she did, because the thing is, it's not like she didn't know. You can't, you know, I mean, she's an American, and, you know, I'm glad she's home, but, you know, I don't think that she should have been. I think the Marines should have came home first. And my thing is, you know, it doesn't surprise me that Biden and their U-Haws, they left the Marine there, because if you look at what they did to our soldiers, look at Afghanistan and what they did. And then you look at when, during the November, the January 6th, we had our military over there. Where did they put them at? In a parking garage. And then on top of that, what did they give them? They gave them some nasty food that wasn't even well. And then you got Joe Biden now saying that the military, well, you know what, they can be on food stamps. So he doesn't give a damn about the military. He doesn't give a damn about the United States. And I'm telling you folks right now, all you people that's the LGBT and all you black folks, all you Hispanics, he don't give a shit about y'all. He's doing this to get PR points, and that's it. Because if it wasn't for that, she'd be still over there. And if Donald Trump was here, you know what? He would have barred a deal to get them both home. You know what? And I would have been better if both of them came home instead of you had to choose between one or the other. You know what? She chose her demise. She doesn't like the U.S. She doesn't give a damn about us. She talks smack about it, and then everybody act like she didn't do anything wrong, especially the WBA. You know what? We need to start taking responsibility of our stupid mess-ups, and and she's not doing it, and she still won't do it. But yet, we have a Marine, still over there. He has lost everything, and he is still there. That's what tells you what this man is about. He is not about the United States. He doesn't give a damn about our military. Only thing he cares about is getting points with people so he can go ahead and blindside you and screw you later, which he's going to do.
Yeah. This whole administration, the whole administration is corrupt to the core, the bottom up. We have congressmen and senators on both sides of the aisle that are corrupt to the core. I don't even know where to start. Like I told Chris earlier, you can't even keep up with what's going on because there's so much of it going on. Let me start with a tweet from Adam Schiff today involving Elon Musk's Twitter. He posted that slurs against black people have tripled. Slurs against women are up 33%. Slurs against Jewish people are up 61%. That's what he stated. And he stated that that's an unacceptable number and that there needs to be censorship. So basically he is pushing for the government to violate our First Amendment rights. And it came out earlier this week, last weekend, I believe, Saturday night or something like that, Elon Musk and another gentleman dropped some Twitter files. And it turns out that the government, the federal government, and the FBI were in collaboration with Twitter, the old Twitter, to censor conservative accounts and conservative accounts, throttle down algorithms involving certain stories, including the Biden laptop story. So that is basically saying that the FBI and the federal government hid the Biden laptop story by censoring anybody that tried to post about it, or including banning their accounts, including Project Veritas and some of their reporters. The Project Veritas has since been let back on. So has Donald Trump. So has numerous other people that were banned or censored before. Juanita Broderick was one of them, too. So the implications of what is happening, or what has happened, caused Donald Trump, and this is where Chris is going to go off on a tirade, and I'm going to let him because his opinion and his thoughts matter too. He has the right for them. Donald Trump went off on a tirade about the 2020 election being stolen, and it was most definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, interfered with by the Democratic Party and the FBI through social media platforms. And what Donald Trump said after that was is arguable of him saying that he wanted to basically screw the Constitution and give me my presidency, is what the left media was calling it. I'm going to just say this. I read what Donald Trump said, and to me personally, it sounded to me like he wanted the Constitution enforced, not trampled on. However, that's just my thoughts,
yes,
my opinion on it. And that's why I want to go to you two guys, but I want why don't I go to Daryl first, and then I want to go to Chris, because I think Chris is going to have a longer explanation of why he believes the way he believes. And I sure appreciated his point of view when we were talking about it the other day. So, Daryl, why don't you go ahead and speak your mind on what you think about all this Twitter shit of involving, you know, our federal government and the FBI and interfering in free speech. What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, my thoughts on that, they ought to be just like everybody else is getting, you know, put to trial. I believe the people in the FBI, the ones that are ahead of the FBI, their feet ought to be put to the fire. You know, and I'm not going to label all FBI people are bad people because they're not. Their leadership sucks, and they're the ones who need to be put to the fire. We're having a thing where it seems like everybody can do stupid stuff, but no one wants to be accountable for anyone or anything, or we're not holding anyone accountable. And they just continue to go on and on with this, and including the press. You know, and I understand where Donald Trump is coming from, because the man, when he speaks what's on his mind. But he never mentioned, he wasn't talking about ripping up the Constitution. What he's talking about is enforcing the Constitution and start enforcing our damn laws. What is so daggone hard about that? It seems like every time someone wants to try to enforce the laws, enforce the Constitution, and then you have the people on the right, the news media and Alan Schiff and all his cronies, they want to twist things around. You know, and it's just pathetic. But again, if we start getting people accountable for the things that they do, then maybe we'll start getting things straightened up. Because right now, for the past 4 years, 6 years, you have the FBI and all these other people, they're just getting away with stuff. I haven't seen anyone arrested or tried for lying. But the FBI lying and all the BS that they're doing and they're coming up with, and now they hid the stuff from Joe Biden's kid about what's going on. So they're in bed with Twitter. How come no one's being arrested? How come there's no oversight? Because I bet you if Donald Trump was involved in it, there'll be an oversight. They'll have Maxine Waters with her crazy butt and Nancy Pelosi and all them, and EOC, MOUSD and all them, they're talking about, well, we need to have Donald Trump's head, and he needs to go to jail, and then all you mega people, that you people are worth it, you're not worth anything. But here it is, it's over on them, and what happens? Nothing. And that's the problem. It continues to be nothing until we start enforcing our laws and start putting people's feet to the fire. I'm glad Donald Trump said what he did. But it also proves to you, and it shows you how crooked the corporate media is, and how people want to go ahead and twist words of someone who loves the United States, who wants everybody to put America first. They decide they just want to go ahead and let's go ahead and soil his name.
Yeah, no, that's coming from a former police officer, a service member. But that happens to be a black man from Colorado. So for our audience, just so you're aware of the perspectives coming here. Now, Chris, I know you have a whole different perspective on this, and I want you to share that with the audience because I think it's a very interesting perspective and you can appreciate where you're coming from. So it's all yours, my friend.
Okay. Well, first off, as you know, I've always been skeptical of Trump's involvement with some of the events of the last 2.5, almost 3 years now. There were some things that I feel like he had the power to do to step in and stop some of the blatant constitutional violations that were taking place with a lot of these Democratic governors with respect to the lockdowns and their interference in interstate commerce, and it didn't get done. There were some other red flags I know we probably discussed in earlier shows. But here's what scares me, because part of his statement, and trust me, I am all for holding the people accountable, because this was a blatant violation of the First Amendment. Of not just the individuals involved in the breaking the news stories and the people trying to spread them, but this was a blatant violation that affected everybody. It impacted everybody because you had government agents from the FBI to the White House that were directly involved with suppressing information that was extremely relative to an election. So it wasn't just that they were suppressing free speech by silencing those that were criticizing government corruption accurately. They were also subverting an election by not allowing that corruption to be exposed right before an election. And it wasn't even – the story broke shortly before the election, but the FBI had actually held on to that laptop. I believe they had been holding on to that since sometime in – I think it was December of 2018 when that laptop was actually turned over to the FBI, and they sat on it, and they did nothing. Obviously, there was a big conspiracy there amongst the top brass in the FBI to withhold that information from the public because they wanted nothing more than for Donald Trump not to be reelected, and I get that. But in his statement, Trump said that there were laws and regulations, including some articles of the Constitution, that needed to be terminated in order to address this constitutional crisis. And that's the part where I get concerned. And what scares me is that I think what might be happening may be trying to rally the people on the right into agreeing that, you know what, the Constitution's kind of outdated. It doesn't address this problem. And so we need to just kind of ignore certain parts of the Constitution in order to address something that we want. Right. And so what you end up with, if this catches fire, if everybody that's a member of Cult 45 jumps on this bandwagon, now you've got people on the right and the left all calling out the Constitution as being outdated, antiquated, and albeit for diametrically opposed reasons. If everybody in the country or 80% of the country is agreeing that the Constitution just isn't cutting it anymore, that makes it a whole lot easier for the current government to come in and say, majority rules, we're going to ignore the Constitution now because everybody's upset with it. And so we can just make our own rules as we go. And I think we all know what that leads to. And so that's the problem I've got with it. And I think there are remedies within the Constitution to address this situation. It needs to start with holding the people who committed these violations, legally accountable, because it is a crime for a government official to knowingly and intentionally violate a citizen's rights. It is a federal crime for a public official to knowingly and intentionally conspire with other officials or non-officials to violate the civil rights of the citizens of this country. So there are criminal charges that do apply to what is happening. Those need to be enforced. Those people need to be arrested and charged. And if there are any sitting in office that were involved, they need to be impeached and convicted and removed. And then we need to work our way down. As far as addressing the situation with the election being subverted, I think there needs to be some strict interpretation of the Constitution, its regulations, as it pertains to that election, carried out by the Supreme Court to determine how we're going to handle it, not terminate parts of the Constitution. The Constitution has to stand firm, and we have to direct all activities based upon the parameters provided for. And that's my opinion on that.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
I agree.
And that's why I wanted Chris to go last, because his explanation from his standpoint, his explanation, I understood what he was saying. Like, you know, if Trump is trying to get, you know, rally the troops on the right to say, yeah, you're right, Donald, you're right, and we got to get rid of the Constitution. The left is going to jump right on that and say, well, now we finally agree on something. No, because I don't agree with that. I'm a constitutionalist, and I believe in that, in the Constitution and Bill of Rights wholeheartedly. Chris, do you got to run now, or are you going to stay on for a little bit longer? Or?
I can hang out for about five more minutes.
Okay. Let me get to the next story I want to talk about. I'm kind of on the same subject involving Donald Trump. Herschel Walker, the runoff race with Raphael Warnock, and Warnock won, and there's already talk about cheating. It's always the Democrat strongholds that are reporting last. What I don't understand about, like, Arizona and Michigan and Pennsylvania with Federdick and Georgia, it's always the Democratic strongholds that are reporting last, number one. Number two, we have voting machines. Why are we waiting till the last minute to report anything? Aren't the votes tabulated through the machine? Like, we're not hand counting shit. So why in the fuck are we waiting days and weeks to get results for elections? There's only one thing that points to, and that's fraud and cheating. I'm sorry, but that's my thoughts on it. And I heard a lot out of Georgia with Walker and Warnock. And I tweeted out that, you know, part of the reason that Herschel Walker didn't win by a landslide in a majority red state is because he's a poor candidate. And people that are huge Trump supporters attacked the shit out of me because he was a Trump-endorsed candidate. I'm going to say this to those people. You don't have to like my opinion. You got to remember, it's my opinion. And if you believe that Herschel Walker was the best candidate for the job, I think you're nuts. And just because Trump supported him doesn't mean that I have to go along with whatever Trump says 1,000% of the time. You know, I can disagree with what Trump's decisions are sometimes. Now, let me just say this before I get to Chris's thoughts on this. Trump's a brilliant man. He's worth billions of dollars. He made it to become the president of the United States. He's much smarter and has more intelligent people surrounding him. Nothing against Chris or Daryl or Kim, but I'm not a billionaire, and I'm not president, and I'm not going to be either one anytime soon. I guarantee you that. So I'm just a human being with an opinion. I don't have to agree with Trump's picks, endorsements, or even what he says 100% of the time. Looking back at things, do I agree with Trump a good majority of the time on a lot of his stances? Absolutely, I do, but not 100%. If I agreed with somebody 100% of the time, that would make me a sheep, just like a good majority of the liberals are. And I'm not a sheep. I can actually think for myself, and I do not agree with Donald Trump all the time. So there's my thoughts on that. But Chris, before you go, why don't you go ahead and weigh in on that runoff race in Georgia?
Well, I tell you, you know, I'm not presidential material either, nor am I a billionaire. Based on some of the things I've been thinking, though, I do believe I'll be a billionaire by 2024. Unfortunately, that's going to get me a happy meal at McDonald's.
I'm sorry to interrupt your part of this, but I have to ask the question. You're not presidential material. You're not a billionaire. But do you grab women by the pussy? That's all I want to know.
Yeah.
My wife's over here daring me to answer that.
Oh my God!
I'm sorry, brother. I had to throw that joke in there. Go ahead, brother.
But no, like I said, I think I'll be a billionaire by 2024, and I think that's going to be enough to get me a Happy Meal or two at McDonald's. If things keep going the way they are. But, you know, it's time for these voting machines to go. They've been a disaster. They were supposed to speed up the process. And somehow, when we were hand-counting ballots, if it was a terribly close election with a recount involved because of a narrow margin, it seemed like that was usually done within 1 to 2 days. Now we've got these machines. It's carrying out for weeks. We're running into all kinds of issues of how the ballots are being counted when the machines break down, which they mysteriously seem to do in key swing states, especially in Democrat-controlled counties. It looks very suspicious. Whether there's actually something scandalous going on or not, the problem is it creates the appearance that something scandalous is happening, whether it is or not, which undermines election integrity, which causes people to believe that these things are not being carried out fairly in the way they should be. And when people no longer believe that elections are being carried out fairly, when they believe that people are being basically inserted into a position regardless of the voter input, that is one of the things that has led to many armed conflicts around the world historically. And it's just not a good thing. We need to get rid of them. We need to go back to paper ballots, vote in person, by hand, and, you know, let's have the proper people looking over it. We need to get rid of this mass mail-in balloting campaign. That is not something that is out there. You're not going to cure racism by going to in-person voting. Back to it, you know. I don't know how racism even fell into the picture. People trying to argue that, you know, black people can't get ID and black people don't know how to get on the internet and all this other crazy stuff that the white liberals are out there saying, like black folks are just, you know, completely incapable of functioning in modern society. And pretty sure Darryl would disagree with that, and I'm pretty sure you would disagree with that. But we need to get away from it. As far as Herschel Walker, yeah, he wasn't the strongest candidate, and I'll admit that, but I'm still skeptical of the election outcomes because, again, it always comes down to the same Democrat strongholds in the same key swing states on these elections, you know, where it's really important, you know, where these handful of states is going to determine who controls the House, who controls the Senate, and who controls the Oval Office. And it's always the Democrat strongholds in those areas where we seem to have these question marks of whether or not these votes were counted properly. And, well, you know where I stand on that. Just get rid of it. Scrap it. That's not just a right-wing conspiracy theorist, you know, patriarchal white supremacist, you know, thing. Democrats themselves have been raising alarms about these voting machines since 2007 that I know of. And even in 2019, as we were going through some of the Democrat primaries, some of the modern Democrats, Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar, were even suggesting that they thought that there was some tampering going on with the voting machines because they didn't trust the outcomes of some of the primaries that were going on. But then they shut up about that real quick, and then all of a sudden 2020 happened, and the idea that these voting machines could be a problem was just the craziest thing they'd ever heard. I guess they completely forgot that they were doubting them a year before. But, yeah, it's time for them to go.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. When I heard that these Dominion voting machines have algorithms, I thought to myself, now why in the fuck does a voting machine need to have an algorithm?
Thank you.
We need to go right back to the paper ballots where you mark who you want to vote for, and if you're not sure about a race and you don't want to vote for anybody, you don't vote for anybody and nobody gets the vote. That's the way it needs to be, that's the way it should have been, and that's the way it should be. The fact that we're, like Chris said, we're what's happening is happening. We've got a big, big problem. When your voice doesn't count and when your vote doesn't matter anymore, listen, ladies and gentlemen, you're one step away from a communist country. One step. and it's not a very big step to take to end up where that could be. And furthermore, you know, we talked about racism and, you know, the blacks can't get the ID and let me add to that. You know, blacks also they're not able to get on and be a co-host on a radio show. They're not able to comment on social media. The Democratic Party leadership are using racism as a crutch to continue to pull at your empathetic heartstrings on the left, the liberals. I know this because I used to be one. I know this because a lot of my family is, except for my dad. My brother, he completely agrees that there should be reparations for black people because of their ancestors were slaves.
Hell no.
Well, let me exactly, and I'm going to get to that here in a second, Darryl, but I want you to weigh in. But the fact of the matter is I didn't own a slave. I wasn't anywhere near that century. People fought. I see Chris had to go. He dropped. Sorry, he didn't get to say goodbye, but we sure appreciate Chris and his thoughts. But anyway, so it's just me and you now, Darryl and Kim. But I see we have a caller that wants to talk too, but I want to get to Darryl first because I believe as a black man, Darryl can explain what I'm about to say a little bit more. We have two callers actually now, Darryl. We're gonna get bombarded, and that's a good thing. I like that.
All right.
Let's
see.
Black people.
Where in the hell do I start?
One second. Black.
Oh yeah.
I'll get you, brother. Black people have the same opportunities for the most part now in present day society. Now, back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, would I agree with that statement? Yeah, I probably would. But now in today's society, black people have the same opportunities that I have. I chose to go out and work my ass off and try to succeed. And that's what Daryl's doing right now. As we speak, Darryl has been working his ass off. And you know why he's doing that? Because he wants to get ahead. He's not doing that because he feels oppressed. He's not doing that because he feels like he doesn't have the opportunity to do everything that all of us have the opportunity to do. He's doing it because he's got a work ethic, not because of the color of his fucking skin. And you liberal, the ones with the empathy so bad and so, which is, it's good to have empathy, but not to the point where you can't think clearly. Like my brother believes that reparations should happen. My brother thinks that the rich should give to the poor. My brother thinks that the poor people deserve everything that people like me and Darryl and Chris and some of you have worked so hard for. And I don't talk to my brother very often. I don't hate my brother, but me and my brother do not see eye to eye. And for those specific reasons, he is a bleeding heart liberal, which I used to be, and I woke up. I don't know how the hell I woke up, but I woke up. And now I am 100,000% on the opposite side. Like, wait a minute. After I started thinking for myself and not following along with the gang mentality, it changed. But since we got a couple callers on the phone, Darryl, I want to get to you, and I want to hear your thoughts about the Georgia runoff election with Herschel Walker and Raphael Warnock and what you think about them using the race card as a black man. And then we're going to go right to the callers after that and let them speak their mind, uncensored, of course. So go ahead, Darryl, and let's hear your thoughts.
For one thing, I like Herschel Walker. Don't get me wrong. He was not a strong candidate. I mean, he was just way too passive. There's a time where you need to get up and fight, and there's a time where you need to just sit back and chill out. And to me, he's just trying to be way, way too nice, and he just needed to be himself. He was not himself. Was he a good candidate because Trump picked him? No, because I don't agree with everything that Trump does and say, and never will. You know, there's some policies that I like with Trump, yeah, but things that he say, no. And the thing that pisses me off is this race card crap. And if I'm gonna piss some of y'all off, I really don't give a shit because I'm sick and tired of hearing it. I'm sick and tired of hearing. I'm gonna piss some black folks off too. because this is what's really pissing me off. And I'm going to say it on this show. All these people, Maxine Waters, BLM, those little sellouts, everybody over there on the Democratic Party that sits back and listens to Joe Biden says his BS, along with Obama, who didn't do anything for black folks, you got the nerve to sit up there and let Biden sit up here and says black people cannot operate a computer or can't get an ID or can't get a driver's license, and none of you stood up and said, whoa, Biden, you need to back up a little bit. Not one of you did. You know why? Because, and I want to say it the nice way because I haven't been pissed off yet, but all these folks over there in the Democratic Party that are black, you're none but freaking house slaves. That's what you are. No more and no less. And for all you people that don't know what that term is, back in the day when you had slaves, you had the slaves that worked out in the field. You had the slaves that worked inside the house. And those were the house slaves. And basically what they did what they're, when the white master wasn't there, they took his place. They're the ones that went on and told the master, okay, this is what he did, this is what she did, and they got punishment. That's exactly what's going on right now. Yeah, I'm getting sick and tired of this. And black folks, get your asses up and go to damn work. For some reason, we went from a race who understood God and had some pride in ourselves that said, "This is mine. I'm going out to work for it." And here we are, a bunch of you want nothing but damn handouts for the government. I work my ass off here. I am proud of what I do. Am I rich? Hell no. I work paycheck to paycheck. I am up long hours. I'm away from my house. There are things I want to do. I leave from here, and sometimes I go straight to military. Sometimes I don't even have any days off for 2 weeks. But you know what? I am proud of what I have. I am proud of being on this show. I was on this show. Why? Not because I'm black. It's because I'm not afraid to speak up. I'm not afraid to go ahead and look at you in your face and say, you know what? Get off your ass and do something. My mom worked two jobs. She worked at BorgWarner when we was in Decatur, Illinois, and she cleaned houses. And she expected us to work. She didn't look at us and do a handout. My mom could have simply said, I give up. Let me put my hand out. She didn't. My grandmother, 25 kids. And some of y'all are going to say, well, that's impossible. I have the newspaper to prove it. My grandmother had 25 kids. Why? Because back in the day, the only thing that my mom and black folks can get is a job in the cotton field, period. You couldn't go to the store. You couldn't go to the bank. You couldn't go work at the mailbox. You couldn't be a janitor. You had to work in the field. And some of you people sit back here and you got the nerve and the audacity to sit up here and say racism and prejudice of white folks? Let me ask you something. I don't see any bathrooms here that says black people only, white people only. I don't see when you apply to go to a school or a job, they don't say, oh, wait a minute, I'm sorry, you can't apply here because you're black. Oh, wait, you can't apply here because you're white. You know what? We had to travel from my mom's house, from my parents' house, to my grandmother's house, in three cars. We had so much food in the car that we're sitting back going, I'm wondering, why do we have all this food? We got enough food here for a banquet. And one day I asked my mom, I said, why do we do this? She said, we leave up early in the morning so we can get all the way down to southern Illinois, and this is the reason why we do it. Number one, we cannot stop at restaurants because they do not want black people there, so we have our food there. Number two, we drive three car deep. Why? If one car breaks down, the rest of us will get it. We'll split into the two cars. Three, we will not be on these roads by ourselves at night. Let's see. Do we have that problem now? No. So I am so sick and tired. Ooh, this pisses me off. When people sit back and they say, well, we have to have reparations. Let me tell y'all something. The people who need to have reparations is from my mom. It's from my mom society on down. The rest of y'all, you don't need no damn reparations. Get your asses to work. You can go ahead and go to school. If it's too hard, then guess what? it's supposed to be. This shit ain't supposed to be easy. What I do isn't easy. You know what? I'm getting sick and tired of everybody sitting up here, woe is me. Screw your woe is me. Get your ass up to work just like anybody else. Quit blaming a white man for everything, because a white man did do everything. Because right now, I don't see any white man owning slaves. He doesn't own you. You are the only person that's a slave is you, because you do not want to get up and put effort into something, or you just want to sit back and go ahead and gangbang because you think, oh, that's the greatest thing because Tupac says so and Biggie says so. And it seems like the only thing that black folks want to do is be in entertainment. You know what? Guess what? We can do more than entertainment, people. But when so black, and what pisses me off, too, is when a black person's going to look at another black person because he's trying or she is trying to get ahead and do not want to deal with the bullshit anymore. And you sit back and you call him Uncle Tom. Oh, you got to be like the white person. You got to be this. You got to be instead of uplifting and saying, you know what? How are you getting there? Because I want to get there. But until you just rather be a house slave, and you rather be a house slave, so I can, well, let me go get my welfare check. Let me go ahead and get my welfare this. Let me get my welfare that. You know what? How about this? Let's get off our butts. Get off the damn welfare. Let's get some pride in ourselves and start working. You know, and it's not, I hear from the Hispanic communities too. And unfortunately, I see it. I was in a community where when I worked, it was all Hispanic. I was the only brother there. The only brother there. You know why they respected me? Because I got out and I freaking worked. I worked as hard as they did. And for some reason, we think, oh, those jobs are not good enough for us. Oh, it's too hard, so I don't want to go to work. Oh, you know what? Oh, the white man, they did this, so I need money from the white man. You know what? Quit being such a soft ass. Men, get off your asses. Go to work. Have some self-pride. Let's take care of our family. Let's take care of us.
Amen.
And look at this administration and said, screw this.
Amen. Let's go to our callers. I don't want to make them wait because I know they got stuff on their mind, and I don't want to switch subjects on them.
True.
By the way, if you're listening and you want to get on and share your opinion and your thoughts, the phone number to call in is 516-387-1733. And once you get through, just press the number 1. That lets us know that you want to talk, that you have something to say. Again, that phone number is 516-387-1733. And right now we have two callers that want to get on and speak their mind. And the first caller that was on was New Orleans. I'm going to bring you live on air right now and let you share your thoughts live and uncensored. New Orleans, you're live on the air on the Disaffected Truckers Radio Show.
Well, greetings. Glad to be able to chime in the conversation. I have a show here myself on Block Talk Radio called New Orleans Wake Up. So check out my archives when you can. One of the things
right
I heard you guys say that I agree with was that Herschel Walker definitely was not the best candidate, and I think that's a very honest assessment on your part. And also, it's apparent, and this must be understood, and I'm sharing with you this as a black person, the type of politics that Herschel Walker and other blacks who call themselves conservatives, that is despised and detested among the overwhelming majority of blacks. And we see this time after time. Where, in fact, the Republican Party did try to play identity politics, but they got burnt. You see what I'm saying? They pushed the black candidate up, and they got burnt by it. And so, but what's evident, when you look at these votes, and remember, these urban centers, that's where the numbers are. That's where the larger concentrations of people are, as opposed to the rest of these states that are sparse and have a smaller populations combined. But the black conservative is despised and hated among the overwhelming majority of blacks, and they would never have a prominent place of leadership in the black community in America. And so I felt Herschel Walker was an embarrassment, and it was evident that this plot of using identity politics on the part of the Republicans backfired on them.
Yeah, you know what? I really strongly agree with that. I'm going to stop short of calling Trump I don't know what I was going to call. I wasn't really going to call Trump anything for endorsing him, but I believe the Republican Party was using Herschel Walker, using his race as a crutch, basically, because Warnock had the black thing going for him. Warnock, he's a pastor. He's the worst pastor I've ever seen, by the way. I've watched some of his stuff. He preaches division and hate. And his his church or whatever that he preaches at, they were cheering for him when he was preaching, these Republicans this and this. And I'm like, any guy that's a pastor preaches peace, love, and understanding, especially on the Democratic side. Go ahead. Well,
let me share this with you as a black person. What we as black people see in the Republican Party is we see the most hostile and hateful whites that are in the party. So we flock the other way. It's always been that way. Okay? So we flock the other way. And so when we see a black person who's supported by that element, that's even more grounds to stay away from that. And this is the way it is. And so people, black politicians with this conservative affiliation, will never be respected of gaining any promise in the black community.
I have to disagree with you.
Okay, go ahead, Daryl.
Because number one, all right, the history of the GOP, you had a Democratic Party. The Democratic Party didn't want nothing to do with black people, period. And you had the GOP that came up because the GOP ended up coming up after the Democratic Party. And they were for black folks. They did a lot of things for black folks, including civil rights, because the Democrats didn't do anything. For some reason, I will agree with this. The Republicans, they lost their damn way. And I noticed that, yeah, they try to go ahead and do the copycat stuff. Like, here's the problem that I see. We as black folks, we do not educate ourselves when it comes to dealing with politics. Because if you see a black man, it shouldn't even matter if he's conservative or not. If he's on the GOP, but he's telling you, this is what I want to do for our black communities, this is what I want to do for our brown communities, then you should go ahead and open up and listen. Because we have a tendency of not wanting to listen because they have an R or they have a D. We have to get out of that. Until we do, us as black folks, we're going to continuously go around in this circle and we're going to sit back and do what and complain. Because if you look at it, every single time, they go with the Democratic Party. What do? This time they did it a little faster. Near the end, they always say, well, we voted for you. What are you going to do for us? But then if a black man is on the Republican side, they don't want to give him the time of day. We have to get out of that. Until we do, we're going to run in this circle, and we're not going to get anywhere.
And what's your response to that, New Orleans?
Well, the young man is entitled to his opinion. I'm older than he is, and I've seen a lot more than he's seen. And I understand the political trajectory of voters. And
How old are you, sir?
I don't want to divulge my age. That's personal, so I don't want to divulge my age. But I'm older than the caller.
He's Daryl's a co-host, and he's 58, and he was actually ran for the lieutenant governor of Colorado.
Right.
Yep.
What I will say is that black people see the most hostile elements of the white population manifested today in the Republican Party. It was in the Democratic Party at one point, but it's in the Republican Party. And so we go opposite of that. Now, that is just human nature. When you see people that express contempt for you, you go the other way. And then when you see a black person who articulates the same position, and one thing about these so-called black conservatives, they don't even have nuance in their interpretation of things. They say the exact same thing, just like a white Republican, as if they themselves are white. And so that discredits them altogether in the eyes of the overwhelming vast majority of African Americans.
Okay,
even
Let me say this.
Even Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice had nuance in how they approached the issue of race. I didn't care for either one of them. I didn't care for Powell or Condoleezza Rice. But at least they brought a personal experience of mistreatment to their conversation. They did not take the same talking points that this young man on the line is taking. And that's why many, if not most, of these, particularly the younger black so-called conservatives, would never be given the time of day among black people.
Like, when you sit back and you say that about me, you don't even know me. Because, number one, let me tell you something. It's not like I haven't had prejudice against me, because I have. And you know what? And like my mother said, I stand above it. I don't let it be a crutch, and I never will. Just like my grandmother, she back in the day, she did not let the white folks go ahead and make her a crutch so she feels sorry. She was very, and one thing she instilled in us, she said, you do not sit back and let them dictate who you are. You be yourself. So you can sit back and say what you want about me, because you don't even really, if you sit back and you talk to me, then you're probably like, wait a minute, let me think about that differently. Because the things I'm saying, when I talk about things, I don't hardly hear any black person that's in the GOP and in the Democratic Party talking about the genocide of our neighborhood. I don't hear them talking about how come we're not going to take care of our neighborhoods and our schools. I don't hear them talking about that. Only thing I hear them talking about right now, and you can agree with me or not, but Maxine Waters and all of them, they haven't said anything positive and done anything positive to go ahead and bring black people up. They haven't done anything that shows people, okay, black folks how to get out of poverty and to go ahead and go from renting to own a home. They haven't done anything like that, but they're quick enough to go ahead and spell hate and this and that, because we want to sit back and say, well, you know, the black men in the Republican Party, okay, then what about the black folks in the Democratic Party? Because they're doing wrong too. And right now we're at the point where we're killing ourselves off more than any other race. We're killing ourselves off more than any other race. And what are we doing? We're not doing anything. We don't speak up. We don't hold Maxine Waters. We don't hold Jesse Jackson. We don't hold none of them in check. But don't get it wrong. Let a white man do something to a black man, and then all of a sudden we're all up in arms about it. We have to start correcting ourselves. Until then, we're going to run into this problem. We don't even correct ourselves on this. Why is it that we burn our schools all the time?
If you don't mind. I'm sorry. I don't mean to. I don't like interrupting people when they're trying to give out an explanation. I think it's rude, and I don't like it when people. I just thought of something, though, about BLM, okay? People were like, you know, Chicago, and this goes back to the caller, New Orleans. This goes back to your comment about, you know, the Republican talking points and blah, 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 blah. The fact of the matter is I jumped on board with some of the things that they were saying. What about Chicago? The blacks won't even stand up for themselves in Chicago. They're killing each other, da-da-da-da-da. Why isn't anybody saying anything about that? I then found out that there are grassroots organizations in Chicago that are actually neighborhood watch community programs that the media will not cover. And here's the point I'm going to try to make for both you gentlemen is that the media is the enemy of the people. And here's why.
Yep.
They won't cover the fact that there are black grassroots organizations in Chicago and in every major U.S. city that are against the violence that is happening in every metropolitan area, including St. Paul, Minneapolis, St. Louis, Baltimore, Chicago, New York City, everywhere, that are trying to make a change for the positive, but the media won't cover it. You know why? Because this is what they need to continue playing the heart and minds of the in my opinion, the far-left liberal voter. That is my
opinion.
Let me add this too, sir.
The what you just said is correct, but the people on the right who articulate the talking points of the dangerous Chicago, they also do not talk about those grassroots organizations that involve. They
I agree. I absolutely agree with you. Nobody's talking about it. It's not just the media not talking about it. It's your right and left politicians.
Thank you.
The left that continues to say
There's racism, there's racism, there's racism, and nobody's doing nothing about it. They refuse to talk about the grassroots organizations. And then the right says, look at Chicago, look at Chicago, look at Chicago. They refuse to talk about the grassroots organizations that are mainly black local residents that are trying to make a positive change. And without the media's, without the media's coverage and without big tech allowing them to post what they're doing, they're not going to make a change. They're making it difficult for them. Now that Elon Musk owns Twitter and it's a little bit more free speech on there, I'm hoping that some of these groups are talked to about getting on Twitter and building an account to show America what exactly they are doing to help try to change their inner city neighborhoods for the positive change. Because as of now, neither side and the media is giving them a chance in a snowball's chance in hell is what I'm trying to say. And I appreciate you calling in, and I got another call I got to take, but thank you for your input and your opinion, and whether we agree all 100% of the time, we kept it civil, and that's all we ask on this show. We can agree to disagree and move on with our day, and hopefully between all of us, we can make a positive change in this country and in this world and stop this craziness that's going on between left, right, and the indifferences. So thank you, New Orleans, for calling in.
Thank you.
Thanks, New Orleans.
All right. That was New Orleans. He's got his own blog talk radio show, and you'll have to listen back to it. I should have given him an opportunity to plug that, and I apologize to him for not doing that. But it was New Orleans something blog talk radio. Do you remember what it was, Daryl or Kim? I'm not sure what he said. I can't remember exactly what he said. But either way, Go take a listen, and if you like it, listen. And if you don't. That's freedom right there, and that's all we care about. Freedom.
America.
You have the freedom to choose. Yeah. So let's go to our next caller, Sean. I'm going to bring you on air right now. Sean, you, 1 second.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, now you're on air. Uh-oh. Hey, Sean, what's happening?
Hey, Daryl and Jeremy, my two favorite people.
What's happening, man?
What's up, brother?
How y'all doing?
Hey, good, man. I've
listened to every word that's been said tonight, and usually I don't pay attention to it unless it's about trucking. But I had to listen to this, and was that Mr. New Orleans? Is that who was on there a minute ago?
Yep.
Okay. Well, all due respect to him. Sounds like a nice guy. But, I think a lot of this shit is just made up. Honestly. I'm an old guy. I grew up in the racist era, just like Daryl was talking about. Just like that. I didn't understand it when I was a kid. I lived in the deep south, so I was pretty well in it. I seen them sheets and the crosses burning and all that. And I asked my dad one time, if we're so prejudiced against black folks, how come we're not prejudiced against Mexicans? And how come we're not prejudiced against Vietnamese and Chinese? And he couldn't answer me. And that was the end of the fucking racism for me.
Well, and let me
we're all the same.
Let me bring up a point. You guys have all seen that meme or the photo of a little black boy and a little white boy running toward each other and giving each other a hug. And the
meme that
you're not born a racist. You're taught to be a racist.
That's
and that could not hold more true. When I was born, and as far back as I can remember, I remember that one of my earliest memories I have of being friends with a person that was a different color than my white ass was when I went to church. Went to a small Lutheran church, and there was a family there that had adopted a Vietnamese girl and two black brothers. And I, to this day, I am still friends with those brothers, but I was 4 or 5 years old, went to Sunday school with them. I never looked at them as different than me. I never looked at them as like, oh, boy, they're black. You know, I was 4 years old. As I grew older, and as I watched media, and I was influenced by this or as influenced by that, then I started to see the racism coming out in different groups of people. And like New Orleans said, the right, the Republicans' talking points, they don't necessarily condemn that, but neither does BLM when, or Antifa for that matter, when white folks are discriminated against from black folks. So it works both ways. Racism doesn't come in just the form of a white person against a black person. It also, I had a really bad experience once at a truck stop. I'm a 6'6", I'm bald, I'm white. I was walking down the aisle at a truck
really
stop.
Really fucking ugly.
Yes, and really ugly. But I was walking way to the right. It was at a Love truck stop. So, you know, the aisle to the bathroom is a little bit wider. I was walking way to the right, and a black gentleman came walking out toward me, and I kind of moved even closer to the shelving that I was near and actually turned my body sideways, half sideways, just because he was that close to me, where he had another foot and a half on his side. He walked even closer to me, and then he shoulder-checked me. And I turned around, and I looked at him. I said, what the fuck, dude? And he goes, what the fuck? What are you going to do, motherfucker? What are you going to do? And I said, are you fucking kidding me, man? You just shoulder-checked me. What are you going to do about it, motherfucker? Like he was looking for a fight. And I just shook my head. I said, dude, have a good day, man. Get happy. What the fuck, you miserable prick? I just walked away. I don't have to sit there and engage in people. I don't know if he had a bad day. I don't know if he did it because I was white. I don't know what his deal was. All I know is that was a miserable experience for me. And I couldn't imagine all the miserable experiences that maybe he went through that made him take his aggressions or whatever he was feeling out on me. I don't know. But all I know is I wasn't going to engage in it because I am not that fucking person. So when I see this happening all over the country, you know, somebody says one thing that is misconstrued or is maybe even deemed, hey, that dude, that was fucked up. Then it's an engagement from people that have no idea what the conversation was. All they hear was or seen was the headline, what was said.
Exactly.
They didn't see the context and what it was said in. And I'm not trying to make an excuse for any racism. And Daryl can attest to that, and so can Sean. I am telling you that before you get in and you engage in the gang mentality and the mob mentality and start fucking going after somebody, before you know what was said and what the context of that conversation was, you need to shut the fuck up and you need to learn a lesson. The lesson is learn and know what you're talking about before you jump on the mob mentality shit. Shit, we got all sorts of callers. You know, New Orleans is still on.
All right, you want to tell you how me and Sean met? Because, see, I want people to understand this.
Before you, one second,
okay.
Daryl, before you start with that,
right.
I'm going to put New Orleans' mic back on and let him respond to what we're talking about, because I see he's still on. But I want you to go ahead with your explanation. When you're done, let's let New Orleans back on. So go ahead, Daryl.
I want to ask a question to any of you, and I'm assuming you all are very well knowledgeable, at least to some fundamentals of American history. So my question would be, At what time in American history have blacks become racist to white people?
That's a very good
question. Oh,
that
would be this fucking century right here.
That would be what?
That would be right now. I'm seeing it more right now. Honest to God, man. I'm seeing
it
more right now.
That is true.
Blacks being racist to whites. And I have to tell you this right now, because I wasn't going to say nothing about this, but I had a mechanic come out here to my truck today and was working on my truck. And we were talking, and he flat told me that, you know, he went out to a dead call, was dead truck, dead start, and he asked the guy, you know, turn the key on, do this, do that. And he hears this guy on the phone talking to somebody. And he's a black guy, and he says, I had no idea they were going to send the fucking cracker out here to fix my truck. You know what?
You know,
dude, I'm a truck driver. I'm a white man, and I don't give a fuck what color you are. You show up to fix my truck, you're a mechanic. I never heard anything like that before in my life. I've had a lot of black men come work on my truck. And I ain't never been nothing but respectful. Why would somebody I wasn't going to say anything about that, but since that got brought up, that just popped right in my head.
Let me just ask you all this one second. Can we? I want to try to keep our responses down to under 2 minutes because we have another caller on the air, and I wanted New Orleans to be able to come back on and respond to and ask that question also. So, Daryl, go ahead and respond to his question, if you would.
You know, there's always been, there's always been prejudice. You can't, you cannot sit back and say, well, at this time, black people were prejudiced. No. Everybody has a prejudice. You know what? Black folks, white folks that was prejudiced of black folks. You have black folks that was prejudiced. There was people in the South that were black. They were prejudiced against white folks. All right? It just seemed like right now, it seemed like it's the end thing for black folks to be more prejudiced than anything, because it seems like we're having more hatred than what we need to, and we do not need to go down that road. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me ask you. Could you elaborate on they were blacks racist against whites in the Deep South? Because see, I was born during American Jim Crow. I mean, I remember some things as I was coming up. So explain to me how black people, where laws are against them because they're black, explain how they're racist against white people.
There is black. You're going to tell me there is no black. You're going to tell me absolutely there is no black people that was ever president of white folks.
Well,
because
I would like you to explain it to me. Black person? How can a slave black person be prejudiced against a white person? Explain it, please.
Easily because
we're talking about now. You're talking about slave here. We're not talking about slaves. We're talking about us in this century right now.
Hold on, gentlemen.
You cannot tell me that there's no. You're going to sit back and honestly tell me, because I already know some black folks. They do not like white people. They sit back. They talk about white folks. They don't like them. Period. And you're going to absolutely sit back and tell me that there is no black people that don't like white folks. You're lying, because I've heard it before. There's still people today that does that. So you can't tell me that there's any race. There's no race that does not have prejudice in them. None.
But
every race has prejudice.
Okay. So
you can't tell me one race does not have any prejudice in them.
Let me respond to him also, New Orleans. I do believe that we've seen it more prevalent since the woke, so to speak, the woke crowd has come, like the whole woke movement has come up. And I don't really necessarily know exactly when that started, but it was like they said, you know, okay, so there was a memo that came out from internal Koch documents where they were having seminars on how to be less white. When they made it a crime to be a white person, when they made it hateful to be a white person, is when all of a sudden you started seeing what I like to call reverse racism. Because I know in the time period that you grew up in, and Daryl was a child in, when you guys were growing up, I understand that there was real, real problem with racism. I get it. And there still is today with certain aspects and certain factions, certain groups of people. Now, what I want to say to you is that this has all of a sudden become prevalent again in politics and the media when politicians start deciding that they want to push a certain issue. And I'm going to go with the mail-in ballots on this one.
Exactly.
They started pushing this. When they started pushing this, it was the mail-in ballots, and they said that black voters were being disenfranchised by not being able to make it to the polls. So they started pushing these mail-in ballots. They didn't give a fuck that black voters were being disenfranchised. You know what they give a fuck about? Now we have a way to cheat, and they can't figure it out. That, in my opinion. Because if they truly wanted the black voters to get to the polling stations, they would have had a fund set up for public transport to get them to and from polling stations. And let's face it, it's not black people, it's not white people that aren't voting. It's people that are sick and tired of the fucking system. And they know they're being lied to, they know their vote ain't being counted, and they're using racism as their heel, so to speak, to do what they're doing in not only Washington, D.C., but every single state across our country where their mail-in voting is allowed. That's my opinion.
Exactly. I'm sorry, but I agree, Jeremy.
Go ahead, New Orleans.
Well, my question is, who's the they? Who's the they that you're talking about?
Politicians. Mainly on the Democratic leadership on the in D.C., the federal level, that are pushing this whole racism narrative with the mail-in voting. That's why we have to have mail-in voting, so the blacks ain't disenfranchised. I don't believe that the blacks were disenfranchised. And if they were... and I'm wrong, let's just say I am, then again, they should have set up funding for public transport in all the major metropolitan areas. Here's like a bus stop. If you're going to vote, you get a free ride to and back to that bus stop. It could have been simple.
Well, let me say this. There are a whole slew of court cases. If you don't know if blacks have been mistreated at the polls, there are a whole slew of court cases that you can go through and study, and you can look at many of the laws that many of these states pass to make it more difficult to vote in criminalizing people for doing such things, as you say, bringing them to the polls and back. Georgia tried to make it close the poll down for early voting on Saturday. They had to go to court for that. So we see it from different experiences. I come from a different experience than you do, so I don't expect you to see it my way. We won't see it the same way. We come from different experiences.
Right.
See, let me share something with you. I had four grandparents. Let me say this. I had four grandparents. Three of my grandparents, their grandparents was born into slavery. In fact, I have pictures of some of them on the wall in my home. And I listened to what my grandparents told me and my family about what their grandparents told them. We have different American experiences. I could never see it your way. And if I ever see it your way, I have betrayed my historical presence here in this country. And I'm lying to myself.
No.
Hold on.
Why would you say that? Why would you say that? Now, because that would be like me saying if I would say to you, if I would see it your way, then I'm betraying what I believe in. No.
I mean, you're entitled to that. You're entitled to that.
But
why is it that
we have to hold on to something?
But why is it that you have to see? This is what I don't understand. Why is it that every time that we're talking about, you know, us trying to get over this hump, we always go back to, well, way back in the day, you know, that's why I'm standing like this. How come we can't do the point where it's, okay, you know what? Back in the day, it was screwed up. But right now, let's do something to get past that, and let's start uniting, and let's get over that and start communicating with each other and start helping each other. Because that's
Amen.
A lot of things that we're
we need to
on.
Start. We need
Amen.
To start healing.
Well, gentlemen, here's how we start healing.
You don't have to see it my way. I don't have to see it your way. But we know what we need to do together is we need to come together and realize that there's an issue between your way and my way, what I see and what you see, and figure out a way to come to the table, meet in the middle, and say, okay, so you see this as a problem. How do we fix it? And agree on a solution. And I have to do the same thing with your way and say, okay, I see it this way. We all have different ideas. That's the beautiful part about this country.
America.
We can have different ideas. But when we just demand that the other one sees it our way and says, well, I'm never going to see it your way, say that I will never see it your way. If I would have said that to you, New Orleans, if I would have said, I'm never going to see it your way, that would have made me an ignorant, racist asshole.
Thank you.
Now, wouldn't it then?
Thank you.
So now,
let me see it your way.
You help me see it your way.
What's your name? What's your name again, sir?
My name is Jeremy.
Jeremy, let me say this. We can't get over this if we try to sweep things under the rug. And let me say this, too. The most challenging thing a person could do to learn is walk into unfamiliar terrain. You see, I'm not trying to get your approval. I'm not trying to get you to like me. I'm telling you the sentiment on the demographic I belong to. I'm very confident in telling you that I represent that. There are other black people who want you to like them. They want your acceptance. They're not being fair to you, and you're not learning from them. You're just getting your ego stroked, making you like therapy. But you need to go into the room with the unfamiliar terrain that makes you feel uncomfortable, and you might come out a more well-rounded person.
Hold on, Daryl. New Orleans called this show tonight. He stepped into an uncomfortable room.
I'm sorry.
And we're having No. Don't. Nobody should apologize. You were brave enough to step into an. I just need everybody to be quiet and let me explain this for 1 second, please. New Orleans was brave enough to step into an uncomfortable room tonight, an uncomfortable conversation. And now we are having a disagreement, and you see everybody trying to talk at once, and everybody wants to tell, I have the best explanation. The fact of the matter is we need to calm down and have a reasonable and rational conversation about why New Orleans feels the way he does. The fact that he was brave enough to step into this conversation and say what he said, and have a conversation, because when we're all yelling at each other, this is why this country is where it's at, because New Orleans has a different feeling or a different mindset or a different opinion or a different this or a different that, and we don't want to listen to learn. We want to listen to respond. So I want to ask a really important question, and then I will give the floor to one of you guys, Daryl or Sean, and I think it's important. And we have to keep those responses down below at least the max 2 minutes. And I apologize for that. But let me ask this question, New Orleans: do you believe? And I want a real short, a yes or a no, because I got something to say to you. Do you believe that the black community deserves reparations for slavery?
That's a very complex question. I believe black people are owed a debt. So let me just say that. What the debt, how the debt should be measured, that I don't know.
Okay. So let me just tell you this. Did you, I shouldn't say it this way because I don't want you to think I'm trying to be condescending or sound like I think you're uneducated because I don't believe that. You do know that one of the first black slave owners was a black man, correct?
I'm familiar with that talking point, but it's decontextualized and it's a dishonest. That person was brought here as a slave himself from Angola on a slave ship. So how could he be the first slave owner here?
He lost in a court case, and he lost in the, or, I mean, I'm sorry, he won a court case, which essentially made slavery illegal.
He himself was a slave. He himself was a slave.
He owned property.
So
he owned a plantation.
Sorry.
He owned a plantation. Hold on, Daryl. He owned a plantation. And I'm just trying to – I want to have this conversation because I'm getting somewhere here. Before the blacks the black slavery was happening, there was slaves that came from Ireland that worked. So there was slavery that happened in our history that wasn't necessarily all just black slaves. It was white. Slavery was a thing back then. I'm not saying it's right by any means. By no means was it right. That's what they did back then. And thank God that we have progressed as a society and realized that, geez, owning people is not a good thing. But now, if you equate that to today's society, aren't we all just slaves to a system? Honestly, you go to work, you're forced to pay taxes. I don't want to pay taxes. You have to. That's their law. So basically, we are all slaves. We are all owned by governments worldwide. I know it's a more complex than what I just said. And it's take away from slavery in the black community because it was a fucking
Jeremy,
yes,
can I speak? I very much understand where you are trying to go. What I'm telling you and the rest of the people on here is that talking point is decontextualized. In other words, it's not given its full historical context. I know very much about that very well. And the indentured servitude that whites from Europe suffered and the Africans being brought into the British colonies at the time that individual that you were speaking of from Angola came in with 19 other Africans, the colony had not yet decided the difference in fate between black and white. But ultimately, the colonies ultimately voted to make black servitude for life, whereby the white servitude, after you serve your 7 years, you get so much money and land. And that's the way American history prior to the founding of the country began to move. And then upon the founding of the country, breaking from Britain, it continued that trajectory of profiting from slavery. So that's a talking point that the right creates, but it's not fully contextual. It's not accurate in how it's being described and discussed.
Okay, I appreciate your thought on that, and you have your right to your opinion. Daryl, let me go to Daryl. Let's try to keep it under 2 minutes so I can get back to Sean, and then we do have another caller I want to let on the air. And New Orleans, if you don't mind, I'll just keep you on air with us, and we'll try to have a round table, but as long as you guys just try to keep it under 2 minutes and let each other speak that we all have a different opinion.
Oh,
okay.
I'm enjoying it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Daryl, go ahead.
I'm glad New Orleans called. I mean, because it's refreshing to hear its point of view. The point being is this, okay, you know, in the world, there were slaves. Africa had slaves. They overtook other tribes, which is a fact, and they had slaves because Africa was one of the big slave trades. They were competing with Asia, which we can't agree on. Am I correct? Africa did have slaves. Am I correct?
Yeah,
New Orleans.
It's decontextualized. It's decontextualized.
Okay. Hold on.
We can't
hold
interrupt
for
each
a
other.
Second. Now, the point being is this: you can decentralize and say facts are just facts. Okay, we can add a little title to it, make it look sound good to whatever. Point being is this: the world had slaves. That's just how it was, and the kings and queens of Africa, they weren't stupid. They did sell the slaves to white folks because white folks came over and said, hey, we got stuff that you want. And they traded with them because they were in competition with Asia. Now, when you sit back and you're talking to, when old boy, he talked about the black man that owned slaves. All right, it's just like this. Just like anything else. The black man looked at it. And he said, if this white man can do it, so can I. And he took advantage of that. We always have done that. If white folks can do it, so can I. They might have led in it in doing it, and maybe it was bad, but we did it. It's just like you do understand the gang called the Disciples. You do know about them, correct? New Orleans?
Sure.
There's a gang called the Disciples. But did you know the fact is, before they went bad, the Disciples in Chicago, they made sure their kids went to school. They made sure the houses and their buildings were swept. Everything was tidy. They kept the place where they kept the place. What happened?
I'm going to throw
what
that
happened
out
was
to you guys when
okay,
– I'm not trying to interrupt
the mayor
you,
of Chicago,
but I have to keep it low because we're running out of time.
Okay. The mayor of Chicago, the people of Chicago came and said, you know what, we cannot have that. So, you know what, black folks, we've been able to go ahead and adopt. You can put a little title on it or however you want to do it. But if somebody else can do it, we turn around, we can show that we can do the same thing. And we continue to do that.
Okay.
We have BET.
Now, I want to bring this other caller on and let him, and then, Sean, I'll get to you right after this.
Go ahead. Go ahead, bro.
And what I'm going to do is when you guys go over 2 minutes or with 10 seconds left to 2 minutes, I'm just going to throw that applause button on, not to interrupt you. But as soon as that I'll pause it right away so you guys can get back to what you're saying. Just know you have 10 seconds left to finish it up so we can get to everybody else. We're running out of time. I appreciate each and every one of you with your opinions and your thoughts, and you should all be heard. So let me bring on Greg. Greg, you're going to come on the air right now, and you are on the air.
Hey, guys, how are you? It's a great topic you all are having. Good discussion. Needs to be. My question is this. Why, in 2023, coming up shortly around the corner, are we allowing to be divided? This is a time in history. Blacks, whites, browns, Indians, whatever you are, need to come together because look what and the topic of the thing was about politicians. Why was BLM formed? Who funded it? They go for a demographic and they take George Soros' money and they start passing it out like wildfire, getting everybody involved.
I'm going to have to agree with Greg.
We've allowed... And we've allowed the wrong people in power in the United States right now. We need to come together as a people. My name, your name, his name. We're all brothers under the eyes of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Racist is bad. Black, white, brown, Indians. Look what we've done to the Indians. You know, it's bad, period. But we allow it to continue on. We've got to stop it as a people. Because we're giving the 400 richest people in the world the power over all of us. They control our lives, hence taxes, hence more regulations. Everything that goes on in the country, they control it. And what do? They use certain demographics, even white. Now, I'm not just pointing a finger at BLM. You got conservatives, some extreme conservatives. You got liberals. But why do they do that? Is to keep us divided.
Can I
tell you why. I'm gonna say one thing quick, and then I'm gonna go to Sean, and then yes, you can address that New Orleans. And I'm gonna keep mine really short. It's a real quick factual information. Susan Rosenberg was convicted in the early 80s of bombing the United States Capitol. She was later pardoned by Bill Clinton after only serving, I believe, 19 years of her 58-year sentence. After she was pardoned, she went on to be the vice chair for Thousand Currents. Thousand Currents is responsible for the fiscal responsibility for BLM. Now, you put all that shit together, and you tell me that there ain't something funny going on. I'm just that's factual, and you can look all that up, and you'll find out that I'm not lying. Now, Sean, go ahead, and I want to go to you and say your 2 minutes apiece, and then we'll go back to New Orleans.
Well, that just blew over my head what you said, Jeremy. Sorry, but I'm just a dumbass redneck truck driver. You know, all this racist stuff is bullshit.
Thank you.
I got my lineage traced back. My son gave it to me. Do you know? I'm Irish, but we're really Scottish. And we came over because we came over as slaves. Yeah, we worked out of it. But you know what? Let me see. What's the date? Oh, 2022. When's the last fucking slave in this country been? You know what?
Today.
It is too long living in the fucking past.
Thank you.
There ain't no slaves out here now. The slaves are us. We're slaving to the fucking the government. And that's what we need to think about. Black, white, yellow, purple, I don't give a damn what color you are. Ain't no slaves out here. You either work and make it, or you live off of us that work and make it. And that's my time.
Okay. New Orleans, go ahead and respond. I know you wanted to respond.
Yes, President Lyndon Baines Johnson, who was from Texas, said this, and this is a quote. He said, if you could convince the lowest white man that he's better than the best colored man, he won't notice you're picking his pocket. Give him somebody to look down on, and he'll even empty his pockets for you. And that's what we see has been going on through American history. When you look at class structure in colonial America, the colonial elites recognized that they were outnumbered by the enslaved Africans, the indigenous servant whites, and the Native Americans. So they created a concept they gave the indigenous servant whites, and that was that you're white, because people from Europe didn't use that term. It meant that you could have some property, you can be you can witness and testify in court, and you can work as a patrol to keep the other people in line. And when I heard Darryl, when he first came on and he began to talk, and I heard those tropes about black people don't work and everything, he was playing on that topic, make a white man feel better than any colored man. And that's what I see has been going on.
Okay. But Darryl is a black man.
It doesn't make it any. It doesn't make it not wrong if he also plays into that talking point as well, making you feel better than a black person because of the lie that you don't work.
Let me say something.
Hold on. I'm going to get to that. I know what you're going to say, Sashawn, but doesn't Darryl's thoughts? Can he not have his own thoughts, whether you can believe it's a talking point or not?
Of course he has his own thoughts, but, I mean, you can also be incorrect to suggest that black people don't work. That's an old racist trope.
Okay, well, that's your opinion, and that's okay. You can have that opinion. But, Darryl, I want you to go ahead and explain to our callers, Greg and New Orleans and everybody here, and our listeners, how did you meet Sean McIntosh?
I met Sean McIntosh. I was over in Joplin, Missouri, and they had a truck show, and I was shut down for I was there for the weekend. They were shut down, so I was walking around looking at trucks. And then so I was walking around up to Sean's truck, and I didn't know it was Sean's, and I saw a rebel flag. I'm looking at it, and I started walking up, and I see a white guy by it. And I walked up to him, and I saw he looking at me, and I said, hey, nice fucking flag. And he looked at me, and he and I, we got along right then and there. You know what? And for you, New Orleans, I didn't say all black people are like that. We have some black people that do not want to work. You know it, just like I do, period. We have some black folks.
And white people, too.
They want to stay on welfare. And that's on everything. You know what? So I'm gonna say it's real, because I'm not gonna sit up here and label stuff. You know what? I see it, and I'm gonna call it out. I ain't saying all black people, because if that was all black people, then that's stupid of me. Because you know what? There's other black people that are in the Air Force. There's black people that own things. There's other black owner operators just like me who drive trucks. But you can't sit up here and tell me that every black single person is working. You know it just as well as I do, that some of us got to do better. And they're sitting back doing the handouts. You know it just like I do.
That happens in both races. It's not just, yeah, it's not black people. It's not Hispanic. It's not, it's all, people need to do better.
Jeremy, notice how you're willing to acknowledge that for all groups, but this young man chooses selectively not to. And this is the type of honest dialogue. Because he is a black man and he sees the wrong.
Hold on. Go ahead, New Orleans.
I'm saying this is the type of dishonest dialogue that most of us blacks see in what we call the right, the conservative, or the Republicans, and the tropes and the stereotypes goes back to this Lyndon Johnson's quote. If you can convince the lowest white man that he's better than the best colored man, he won't notice you're picking his pocket. Hell, give him somebody to look down on, and he'll even empty his pockets for you. Just like the government emptying our pockets and sending money to Ukraine, billions of dollars. You all are not angry with these white guys that are doing it, but you're angry with poor and working class black people. That's what I'm talking about.
Hold on.
You know what? But see, because the thing is, I'm talking about just black folks right now. Because Jeremy knows me, and I've done on this show before. I talked about everybody, period. But right now, you want to just say, well, he's just talking about black people. That's why I say you don't know me. Because, see, I'm just talking about black people at this time because, you know what, I'm talking about because I want us to uprise because we can do better. Trust me, I talk about everybody. That's what you don't know about.
And that's what I'm trying to tell you. And here's the next thing I want to say about that. The reason I asked Daryl about that, because he's a black man, okay? When our audience hears me going off, and I say, you black people need to get back to work, what's the first thing that's going to come out of their mouth? Listen to this racist motherfucker. You know that. I know that. I'm not a dummy. Now, Daryl has his own thoughts and his own beliefs. Do I agree with most of what Daryl says? Absolutely, I do. I consider Daryl a really good friend of mine. However, I in today's political atmosphere, it would destroy me and my credibility if I shared my thoughts of what I believe that, you know what, these lazy white motherfuckers that refuse to work and smoke meth all day and don't work, if I told Daryl to say that, they would come after him and they would crucify him. I can say that because I'm a white guy. Now, with today's political theater, I have to make sure that whatever Daryl or whatever I, you know, like what Daryl says, that's his thoughts, not mine. We don't script this show. So if Daryl has a thought that, you know, black people need to get back to work, I can counter with that and say, you know what, so do white people. That doesn't mean that Daryl's That doesn't mean that Daryl's on one talking point and I'm on one talking point. It means we're trying to be civil. It means we're trying to be sensitive to today's political atmosphere. And
well, let me
honestly, I don't give a flying fuck if I offend somebody. but I am trying to protect the integrity of Daryl and this show by letting Daryl as a black man explain his views. And that's why you're on here, sir. And go ahead, and I want to get let Greg pop back on here as soon as you get done what you want to
say. Can I say this quickly, Jeremy?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I would like to recommend two motion pictures for you to view. One is called The Soldier Story, and I'd like you to pay attention to the character that plays the sergeant. And another one is Django Unchained, and pay attention to the character called Steven. And I need you to understand that just because a black person says the same thing, it's still the same concept. Now, what you were sharing with me for the most part is that Daryl is not permitted to talk about white people.
Everything's good. I'm over here on disregarding
Trump
herself. All right, I appreciate you, man. You have yourself a good one. Oh, I pulled the truck over so we can talk. Oh, Merry Christmas to you, my brother.
What? Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
I'm here.
Daryl was talking to somebody on the side.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here. I had to stop the truck. I'm in the area where I stopped the truck because I'd go up in this other area. I'm going to lose phone contact. So another driver was just making sure I was all right. That's what a truck driver
like,
do.
What the fuck is going on here?
Sorry about that.
That conversation just kind of went sideways. But, hey, Greg, you want to weigh in on what's going on here and share your thoughts?
Yeah, I understand where the guy, what state is he from now?
His name is New Orleans. We'll call him New Orleans. Before you go, Greg, New Orleans, go ahead and plug your radio show, if you would.
Yeah, my program is called New Orleans Wake Up, and I have a rich litany of archives of shows where I have guests, and I cover many topics. And you can go New Orleans Wake Up is my show.
New Orleans Wake Up on blogtalkradio.com. Wake Up.
Yeah.
Yep, on blogtalkradio.com. Okay, Greg, go ahead.
I want to say I understand. Now, I'm a white man, but I've spent a lot of time in New Orleans. Understand where he comes from being around the inner cities there and seeing and spent quite a deal of time there, actually, back in the day. I understand his points, but I would like to implore him, and I'm going to ask him, a white man asking a black man to do one thing. Let's look at what's going on right now. Let's leave Lyndon B. Johnson out of the equation.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's get on today. What's happening today? Because, brother, I can tell you right now, my best friend is black. He owns 7 businesses, a very successful black man. He employs blacks and whites, and I think some other races, you know. I see a lot of black people in my community prospering, and I think that Daryl's point is that anybody could be prosperous with hard work and the right teaching.
Thank you.
With people helping them. Let's lead the path, brother, and let's all come together as a people, you know, and whatever we could do to help down there, I'm willing to come down and stand with you, brother, as a white man, and address the community, talk with the community. I'll come to the uncomfortable place in this country and do my part as a Christian American, you know, and I'd like to see everybody come together as a people, and it's important we do that.
No, I agree with you, Greg. I think that's
a
stand-up thing to say. And you know what? If Greg is willing to do that, so am I. And if me and Greg have to come together as a guy from Kentucky and a guy from Minnesota, as white men that are not living in New Orleans, that are not living your life, that are not living your experiences, have to come and learn, I'm willing to do that as an American. Absolutely. There you go. I see that you just posted that New Orleans Wake Up. Thank you on the chat. I put it on there, put the name, but you put the link. That's good. And, yeah, I strongly encourage everybody to go check out what his Blog Talk Radio program is. We don't have to agree. We don't have to – hell, we don't even have to like each other. But you know what? As an American, as Americans, we have to start trying to understand each other and where we're coming from and why we have the opinion we do. And if our opinions aren't matching, then, damn it, we need to step up and step up our game and say, you know what? I want to understand him a little bit better, and I hope he understands me a little bit better. That's the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, go ahead. Jeremy? You know why Martin Luther King was a real threat? You know, he was very successful in his civil rights campaign. But before he was killed, he was addressing two things. He spoke out against the war in Vietnam, and he was organizing a poor people's campaign. He was going up into Appalachia, Kentucky. He was going among the Mexican-Americans because they were going to have a march of poverty into D.C. He was killed. And, you know, King, at that point, when you really analyze it, was going to upset the formula that kept things in place. A lot of poor white people have been taught that black people is the reason why they're suffering. And what King was going to do, in fact, I saw a clip of that, and a white lady said, I'm tired of eating Jim Crow. What she meant was she was tired of being told that her problem was the Negro. And so by getting poor whites to see that the rich whites was their problem, that was going to cause a complete social transformation in America. So King had to be cut down. And so what we see with the Republican Party, it took those angry white folks that you had basically in the South, and Trump played this game that he spoke to them on their anger. And that's what we see. And that Lyndon Johnson quote is a very powerful quote. I suggest you Google that Lyndon Johnson quote. That's a very powerful quote that he let be known what's been going on in American history.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. And as a matter of fact, I'm not disagreeing with you on many points. I think basically what it is it's an education topic point that not only do I or Daryl or Sean or Greg or yourself, anything in this conversation tonight, we should all take a step back and look up some of the things that were brought up tonight. Because that is the only, honestly, ladies and gentlemen, how we're ever going to fix what is going on. That and understand that the government and the media don't necessarily are not necessarily looking out for our best interests. And that includes Republicans and Democrats. Now, you brought up something to New Orleans, and I got to cut this show short here because we're running out of time. But the point you try to make, and I'm going to kind of pick on the Republicans on this one a little bit, is, you know, the poor white man was taught to be the blacks were inferior. Now you fast forward to today, and you see what's going on at our southern border. And you see at the massive invasion of illegals coming in. And you see the massive invasion of child trafficking coming in. And they're turning that around. And the Democrats are letting this happen, by the way, because they know what they're doing. And the Republicans know what they're doing, too, because they're both sides are playing both sides. They are allowing human trafficking. I watch videos of money being transferred while kids are laying on the ground with their arms tied behind their back, tapes over their mouth. They're going to become human trafficking victims. If you talk to Border Patrol agents down there, there is bloodied underwear from children that are strewn all over on the border. This is a real thing. The immigrants, those people coming across the border, for the most part, are not our enemies. There are some that are coming across the border that are our enemies, and those people, Venezuela, are emptying out their prisons and transporting them up to the border, to cross the border. Now, this is happening, ladies and gentlemen. Child trafficking is happening. ladies and gentlemen. Now, I do know that there are certain Republican senators and congressmen and governors that are trying to stop this. And they're playing the game wrong, in my opinion. Doesn't matter. I hate to use the word game because these are human fucking lives. The fact of the matter is they're pitting us against each other when we both sides know that there's a problem down at that southern border that we need fixed. And we cannot continue to do this and sustain this without fixing the root core of the problems. Joe Biden refuses to admit there's a problem at the border. Under Donald Trump, now this isn't a pro-Trump or an anti-Biden statement. This is the truth. Under Trump, we had the lowest border crossings
yep.
in over 20 or 30 years. Under Biden,
yep.
we have the most daily children crossings in the history of the country. Children crossings. Now, that's a problem. I know this is going on to a whole different subject here, but I have to cut it short now. But we need to figure out a way to come together, not just black and white, not just Democrat and Republican, but as human beings, as Americans.
Exactly. How the fuck are we going to fix this?
We're going to have probably have to have a part two of this one, but we're going to have to stand together. And
yep,
and just look at each other in the eyes and say, you know what, New Orleans, I may not agree with all your political opinions or your thoughts or your views, but I do know this country is a deep shit, and I'm willing to stand side by side with you and forget our differences for now, and we'll get our differences, we'll get to the table about our differences in the near future, but let's fix our major issues first, and once we get them fixed, then I really want to sit down with you, and I really want you and I to come to the middle of the table and figure out what can we do to bring this country together as a constitutional independent or as a Republican or as a Democrat. We are, at the end of the day, an American. And
well,
on that note,
God,
I want to
that's
give...
just exactly what the whole fucking country ought to do, the whole government
Thank
ought
you.
To sit there and say what you're saying right now.
Yep.
We are out of time. I mean, I have a little bit more time allotted, but I have to get up really early in the morning, and I usually like to keep the show at 2 minutes, but I'm going to do this. I want to give each one of you 2 minutes to make your final statement. Please don't interrupt anybody. Let them make their final statements. And as soon as you're done with your final statements, I'm going to mute you, and then I'm going to make my final statement, and then I'm going to end the show. Greg Anderson has dropped his call. I just want to say, Greg, thank you for joining the conversation. But New Orleans, you have 2 minutes to make your final statement.
I just want to say that I am convinced that there are many people in the American landscape who want to hear the truth about why things are the way they are. I will like to encourage white conservatives and Republicans to abandon the idea of funding and sponsoring a black candidate to attack black people. I think you all should abandon that. I think the Herschel Walker debacle is a lesson that in the black community, those type of blacks are overwhelmingly despised and hated. I refer to the two movies. A Soldier Story, which was a play that was made into a movie starring Denzel Washington. I'd like you to watch that and look at the character of the sergeant. And Quentin Tarantino's Django Unchained, starring Jamie Foxx in the character called Steven, played by, I can't think of it, Samuel Jackson. And when you see those two characters in each of those movies, then you... just by watching the movie, we'll become angry with those guys, and you're not even a black person. And I want you to imagine how black people feel when they hear and see those kind of blacks come at them as if they're replacing or being surrogates for white. So I just want to have you understand that you need to come into the uncomfortable zone. Do not look to get your ego stroked by a black person who wants to be accepted, but come into the real-life black community.
Okay, And on that note, New Orleans, I'm going to mute your mic and thank you so much for your contributions tonight and your honesty and stepping into an uncomfortable place to speak the truth with other people. And I encourage every one of you to go and listen to New Orleans Wake Up on blogtalkradio.com. That's New Orleans Wake Up. And we sure appreciate anybody to come on and share their opinions. So let's go to Sean for your last, you get 2 minutes to share your final thoughts, and then I'll mute your mic and go to Daryl.
Well, I'm just an uneducated white truck driver. I run around this country day to day, do everything I can do. I don't see color in this parking lot. I don't. Everybody out here is a driver. Black, yellow, red, it don't matter. Woman, man, it don't matter. Listen to everything everybody has to say, and I listen to New Orleans. But, you know, we're in 2022. Lyndon B. Johnson is dead. Lady Bird Johnson is dead. This is 2022. We better wake the fuck up and start working together, all of us, or we're all doomed. And that's what I got to say.
All right, Sean. I appreciate you, my brother, and thank you for your contributions tonight, too, and sharing your thoughts and your opinions. So that was Sean McIntosh. Me and him have stood side by side in numerous trucking advocacy things, South Dakota Capitol and Washington, D.C. in 2020. Sean's a good dude, so we appreciate you, Sean. Daryl, why don't you go ahead and give your final thoughts of what you think about tonight's show, the conversation that it transpired and what it kind of turned into. And you know, we agreed to disagree, but we didn't call each other names. And I really, really appreciated that. But go ahead, Daryl.
Man, you know what? This was a good conversation. I'm glad you had the two callers on here. You know, but like I gotta agree with Sean. You know what? Lyndon passes back there. We can look at the past and we can learn from it, but we gotta go with today. And then, you know, and just like my grandmother and my mom, you know, they always instilled in me, they say, you know what, you need to do better. Not because of who you are, because I want you to do better than I did. And that's the same thing when I talk about this with everybody. I want everybody to do better. But, you know, I had a lot of black folks come up to me and say, you know what, we're falling behind. And I'm just like, okay, we got to step it up. Everybody has to step it up. But right now, you know, I talk to my black brothers and sisters because I want you to do better than me. I want you to be able to uprise and say, I'm proud of the money I make. I'm proud of what I do. And that's what I want. And you know what? I'm blessed to be on this show because, like you said, we have a mixture, and that's what America is about. It's a mixture of people coming together, having ideas, and we'll be able to sit down and we can talk about it. Whether we agree or disagree, we can talk about it. And there's some things I agree with New Orleans and Orleans, and I know there's some things that he agreed with me, and we do not agree with each other. But you know what? I respect the man. If I saw him today, I'll walk up to him and I'll shake his hand. You know, we're in two different eras. You know, I'm going by what I see now, and I just want the best for everybody. And that's how I see it. You know, we have an administration. They're trying to keep us apart. We got to come back, and we got to start being together. We need to wipe off all this racism crap and start being Americans, start having each other's back. Then we're going to start making these people that are in power, then we're going to start getting them scared because now we're not fighting each other. We're fighting them.
And I appreciate that thought, Daryl. And I'm going to keep your mic on because you're the co-host of the show. So you you get that.
Right.
But, you know, you brought up toward the end there, what did you say? My mind just went blank. When you get so much of this going on, there was something that you brought up toward the end of what you just said, that just made me, like, triggered something, and then I went away because I wanted to make sure I left your mic on. Oh, I tell you, Daryl, I'd lose my head if it wasn't attached.
Man, I'm surprised I'm still up. No, I think it's what it was is that we're you know, everybody, we have to get together, you know, because if not, I mean, we got Biden. He's passing all these laws and this crazy executive orders because he has all of us fighting over here, saying, you know, the white man this, black man this, the gays this. They have us doing all these fighting, and they're turning around. And in the end, people, I need y'all to understand this. In the end, if we do not get our shit, government is going to, they're going to take away our freedoms. We're going to be like Russia. We're going to be like China.
That's what I was thinking right there. When the government knows, and the media knows, and the people that are what I like to call the deep state know, that when the people wake up and come together, that's why they keep us divided, ladies and gentlemen. But when the people come and wake up and they come together, black, white, Democrats, Republicans, it doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter if you're here legally or illegally, when the people come together worldwide, which you're seeing worldwide movements, Canada started it off. And I was, I'm like Kim from our producer. She knows all of the people that were involved in getting that going. I got involved through social media with the Canadian movement into Ottawa. I was friends with Tamara Leach on Facebook before my Facebook account got shut off by our government. I've got Rooster's phone number. I've got Big Red's. I know these people. I've talked to most of them. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I was directly involved, but I was indirectly involved because I supported what they were doing. Because I had seen prior to that the absolute tyrant in Justin Trudeau and Joe Biden forcing people and coercing people to take a vaccine that has now come out to say that, well, it really doesn't work, but we still want you to take it anyway. And that's a whole other show. I don't want to get into that. I do want to get into a story tonight that comes out of British Columbia, but I have 45 minutes that I'm allotted, and I want to touch on that story. I wanted to touch on that story, but this conversation got so real that I kind of just pushed it aside for just a second, for an hour and a half. But anyway, the fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, that the people that are in charge, the people that are running the world, the elites, the World Economic Forum, the Democrats, the Republicans, the media, they give you the illusion that you are free here in America. You're not free. You're a free roaming tax cow is what you are. Now, if we all decided today that we're not going to pay taxes anymore and we're not going to fund this corrupt government on either side, what do you think they're going to do? Well, why do you think they wanted to hire an additional 87,000 IRS agents with the stipulation that they knew how to use a weapon? That was in the description before it got scrapped off of the website. This isn't about your freedom, your rights. This is about total control. And I'm going to stop short and say it's the Democrats or it's the Republicans. It's the government. It's the deep state. It's the people that are running you, the people that are making us all slaves, whether you're white or black, and they continue to make you fight over things that happened in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, 2000s, and even today present. And then they created groups like BLM and Antifa and funded them with special interest money. They're basically the strong arm, or the militia arm, I should say, of the Democratic Party, those two groups. Now there's other groups that are funded that represent the right. I'm not going to deny that. The fact of the matter, ladies and gentlemen, is that they're after all of us.
Yep.
Now, you just sent me something earlier, Daryl, in a text message about executive order, what was it, 14037 or 14067
yeah,
or something like that?
Yeah, March 9th, 2022, Biden ended up signing an executive order without talking to Congress, talking to the people or anything. It's called 14067. Basically, what this is, they're coming after your money, folks. You can talk about the gun rights and everything all you want, but see, the thing here's people. This is what I need you everyone to understand. That's why we gotta stop fighting within each other. The past is something we learn. We have to start getting along with each other, because right now they are trying to figure out ways to go into to having digital money instead
digital
of paper
currency.
Money. Now we're not. We're not talking about bitcoins or online banking. We're talking about where they control your money, where they say whether or not you have money or you do have money, whether they say whether you can buy this or you can buy that. And everybody's kind of like, well, no, that's not happening. That's why he has the executive order. That's why there's also Operation Lithium and also Operation Hamilton, because right now you have the World Banks. Right now, as we speak, the World Banks are trying to figure out a way to get this technology out there. So then that way, people, you will have – right now, China and Russia is trying to do this. They're talking about China.
And
China,
Canada.
Talking about disabled – and Canada. Yes, that is true. They're talking about trying to destabilize the American dollars. People, do you understand that if this happens, you will own nothing. They can go ahead and wipe out your account. They know exactly what you're buying, what you're spending. They can tell you if you decide to pick for a candidate and they said, no, we don't like that, they can go ahead and turn off your money. This is how serious it is.
It'll all be based off of a social credit score system. So guys like myself that are negative toward government, any government, anything that they go for and I go against, they'll ding me on my social credit score. Like, I'm already fucked. Like, if they go off my social credit score now based off of my comments and my opinion, I won't have a pot to piss in. I won't have a dime to spend. I won't have a window to piss out of. They don't give a flying fuck if I'm homeless, hungry.
No,
they don't care. This is part of the Agenda 2030 plan. I know this is getting off the script again, but you know what? This is what we do here. We tell you the truth about what's coming down the line because we studied it. I've studied it extensively. But that's another show again. We're going to have shows lined up for the next 6 months. But let me get to something here. I want to get to something. And that is the story of out of British Columbia. Richmond, British Columbia, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A 6-year-old girl who was a member of the Richmond Raven U7 girls hockey team, she died suddenly last month after suffering from a massive stroke. Now, before I get into the story, and I have a few minutes to get into it, I want you to go to Twitter. If you don't have a Twitter account, go to Twitter and create an account and search the hashtag died suddenly. And read the stories. Okay, on that note, on November 26th, Danielle May Cabana, who had been taken to the British Columbia Children's Hospital for treatment of flu symptoms, passed away unexpectedly, according to Richmond News. On Instagram, Danielle's father, Dennis Cabana, claimed that she contracted the flu at the same time as her sisters around Remembrance Day. By the way, this is coming from the GatewayPundit.com. After her sisters had fully recovered from the virus, Danielle was admitted to the hospital and was moved to the intensive care unit. Danielle was diagnosed with myocarditis, which doctors believed was caused by the flu. She underwent 2 heart surgeries and was able to breathe on her own, but in the end, she died from a massive stroke. Quote from her father, while we may not be able to see or touch her again, Her spirit and memories will live forever within her parents and sisters, wrote Dennis. We will honor her life and make sure she experiences a full life through our eyes. Now, here's where it gets interesting. According to reports, though not confirmed, the young kid was vaccinated. One Facebook user commented, I have a friend who is part of Danny's extended family. She confirmed that the child was vaccinated and admitted to the hospital with myocarditis, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the side effects of the vaccines. Doctors
yes,
literally
is.
Drilled a hole into her heart to increase its blood flow, only to be met with rapid clotting, which took the child. It was also said that her dad was very pro-vaccine and posted memes making fun of the anti-vaccine moms. The post was reportedly taken down, and here's what it stated. To all of you that believe your Facebook and YouTube quote-unquote research justifying your beliefs that vaccines are evil, keep quote-unquote researching, and you'll find essential oils, cleanses, and prayer groups that'll negate all adverse side effects, Dennis reportedly wrote. In that post, he had a photo of vaccine research, it states, with a picture of a scientist in a lab, and right underneath that, in a picture, it said, anti-vaccine mom research, with a lady sitting on the toilet with her pants pulled halfway down looking at her phone. But those were reportedly deleted. Now, I want to tell you something. I know we went way over our time tonight, but I'm going to do it anyway. I don't give a shit. The fact of the matter is these people will not believe the truth, even when it's literally at their children's funeral or their loved one's funeral. My cousin passed away a month and a half, 2 months ago, 36 years old. His wife heard a thump upstairs. She went upstairs to check on him. He was laying on the floor dead. They did an autopsy on him. And I've stated this in previous shows. They found that he had some blocked arteries, and he died of a massive heart attack at 36. 36 years old. My mom called to tell me that, hey, cousin so-and-so passed away. I said, was he vaccinated? And she goes, you need to stop this. You need to stop this. I said, answer me the simple question. Was he vaccinated? I don't know, but you really got to quit this. My mom got mad, and I got a little upset with her. And I said, when the fuck are you going to wake up? When the fuck are you going to wake up? This doesn't happen on a normal and a regular basis with young people. It don't happen.
No, it does not. Nope.
It doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's happening all over. And she hung the phone up on me.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, I love my mom. I'm not mad at her. But I got a little upset with her when she said, you need to stop this. You need to stop. Because I've been researching this shit for the last year and a half. I was one of the first ones to come out and say, don't take remdesivir. I read a study on it from the Congo. It kills 33% of their patients with kidney failure and major organ failure. What did they make the fucking the treatment? One of the treatments for COVID-19 when you're hospitalized in America and worldwide? Fucking remdesivir.
Remdesivir.
Nobody can put the two and two together except for people that do their research. But I'm called a conspiracy theorist. Anyway, the autopsy comes back. Yeah. And I told you that. My aunt's devastated, and she rightfully so. She just lost her son. He just had a newborn. He had, a 1, 2, or 3-year-old daughter. I mean, I wasn't close to him, but he was my cousin. He was my blood.
Right.
He died. He died. And these people are dying at the hands of Big Pharma, media, and the government.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said all along, these people need to be held accountable. And they're not going to be held accountable as long as fathers like this guy here, Dennis. And let me just say first, it's a sad story. It's horrible, and I feel horrible for his family. They lost a 6-year-old daughter, a beautiful little 6-year-old girl, innocent 6-year-old girl, because their parents believed in the propaganda coming from the media and our governments worldwide and Big Pharma. and they refuse to believe that they've been had. This is, ladies and gentlemen, the same exact thing that happened prior to Nazi Germany, the propaganda.
Thank you.
If you start looking into this stuff, you're going to see a striking resemblance that is very worrisome to me. The governments pitting each other against each other. The media, it goes back to the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012 that went under effect under Obama that people don't seem to give a shit about, but it essentially makes it legal state-ran propaganda through our media sources. And they don't want to see it, and they want to argue about it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not here to lie to you. I don't make no money off this. Daryl doesn't make no money off this, and neither does Chris or Kim. But yet we dedicate our lives every Thursday night to share topics with you that are the truth and share differing opinions. Opinions, even if you don't agree with us, that's fine. But we don't. We're not paid by anybody. And I've been offered different times by different groups throughout what I've done if I would maybe mention their name, if I would, you know, tone it down a little. And my response, and which is why I don't get contacted anymore, is no. You either sponsor what I have to say and...
Thank you.
Agree. You don't have to agree with it, but if I'm going to mention your name and you take a little heat for what I say, so fucking be it. I'm not going to sell out to make sure that you are successful. I'm going to sell out. I'm not going to sell out. I'm going to speak the truth.
There you go.
To help my fellow human beings. And that there is no race line there. There is no poverty line there. There is no political line there. It's humanity, not Americans, not Australians, not Canadians, not New Zealanders, not Africans. It's humanity. If I see something that raises a red flag, I am going to be here, and I'm going to talk about it. And I don't give a fuck if you filled my bank account with $20 billion to toe the line. I'm not doing it because I have integrity. And if you don't like it, fuck off. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, you guys all have a great night. Daryl, I appreciate you. Appreciate you as always. Be safe.
You too, brother.
There,
I appreciate you.
And Kim, thank you so much for doing your job and putting our episodes on Spotify every single week, ladies and gentlemen. If you miss us, all of our episodes are archived. You can go and check us out on Spotify also. And Kim does a fantastic job of manning the board. She's had a rough go of things for the last, 4 or 5 months, Kim. But she does a fantastic job, and I sure appreciate her. And Sean, thank you for the call. New Orleans, thank you for the call. Greg Anderson, thank you for the call. Anybody that listened tonight, thank you for listening. Please share us out. We're very, very honest here. We're very raw, and we're very uncensored, as you can hear. So on that note, we'll be back next Thursday night. Chris was at home tonight, and he said he's going to duck out after a half hour, which he did. And like I told everybody here, if you got something going on, take the night off. Do what you got to do. Life is life. This is a radio show. We can all come together as a family, me, Chris, Kim, and Daryl, and figure it out together. Like last week, Chris and Daryl did it, and with I don't know if Kim was here last week or not, but we figure it out. The truth will come either way. Sometimes we all have to take Thursday off because we all have a busy schedule, but here we are. Anyway, we're half hour past what I like to use as a cutoff, and on that note, I want to say this final thought. God bless each and every one of you, my Democrat friends, my Republican friends, my black friends, my white friends, my Chinese friends, my Indian friends, my green and my yellow friends from Mars, every single one of you, from Russia, from Ukraine, from Israel, from Iraq, every single country and every single nation worldwide. From my home to your home, God bless each and every single one of you. Have a great
Amen.
Week, everybody, and we will see you guys next Thursday.
All right, my brother.